A lot of what we've heard in our time in church and what religion's been about, it's now a time that the Spirit wants to make it an experiential reality with us. His presence very real to us. In church, I think all of us have been experienced the ministry, giving, receiving. Yet, as long as people have been involved with the church system and as many years as we've had the church, it's still very surprising to me how unclear we can still be as to the purpose of ministry. So often the ministry is seen as something to keep us in line, or, you know, because we're human, we have all these problems, and that definitely is a truth. The ministry is targeted at our problems, getting us to straighten up. That's not why God gave the ministry at all. The ministry is given to bring us to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Clear and simple, to be connected and to know our head. Again, that's involved with his presence. As human beings, we're always going to have problems. And in the process of growing spiritually, we see things drop away. But if our focus is on the flesh, we miss the real purpose of why God gives the ministry. It's to bring us to Christ. It says the Holy Spirit has been given for what purpose? To lead us into all truth. That's not speaking about simply more and more doctrine and more knowledge. Jesus said, I am the truth. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to lead us into the truth of who Jesus Christ is in our lives, to bring us to know the head. I'm going to read just a few verses to you, and you can look at them later. Colossians 1:18 says, verse 17, He, the Lord, is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that he himself might come to have first place in everything. 2:19, and not holding fast, it talks about those that aren't holding fast to the head, from whom the whole entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. Now again, the whole focus is on our relationship with the head, the Lord. Yet how often in church are we distracted from this purpose? It's about being connected with everything else, your performance, what you're doing. Many churches are still under that, what I call the legalism, the law. Very performance-oriented. What you're doing right, what you're doing wrong. Yet the purpose, again, of ministry is to awaken us that we have a head named Jesus Christ. And all God wants us to know and to do is to bring us into an experiential reality with that head. Ephesians chapter 4, this is quoted so many times. It talks about how God has given ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and how we get hung up on defining those ministries. How often in church experience are people brought to a point where they're looking to see how they can serve those ministries or to find the right ministries to follow? Yet that's not what it's speaking of. Paul talks about in verse 11 about the giving of ministries, but he says, these ministries are given for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all attain to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature person, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. How it gets twisted where people think if they can find the right leader, they're in God's will. Or they find leadership and then their whole life is spent trying to serve that leadership. God says, I've given these gifts for one purpose. It's for your growth. You can come to know who Jesus Christ is in your life. Purpose of ministry is that everyone will know the treasure that lies within them and how they are intimately connected to the head, the Lord Jesus Christ. It goes on to say, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. You have this beautiful picture of this living body growing. I'm not so sure that's the picture of the church world today. Oh, we have churches that are growing numerically, adding people. Again, that's seen as another purpose of the ministry. Let's grow the church. Let's add more seats, more people in here. But are people growing in the Lord? That's the question. You can add members and people can come for a variety of reasons. But are people free to know who their head is? Coming to know Jesus Christ as their Lord. The difference between Old Covenant, which is law, and New Covenant is not simply a matter of doctrine or teaching. New Covenant is life. And speaking of, in Hebrews you read about this, and also in Jeremiah, New Covenant is what? Everyone will know me from the least to the greatest. It's that life. It's that presence. And we can spend another 5 years teaching about all the differences between life under law and what New Covenant life is supposed to be. But in 2 Corinthians 3, Paul talks about it's the ministry of the Spirit, the ministry of life. It's what we experience in the Lord. That's the day we're living in right now. And our time in church, I think, should just be a reflection of this life. It should be a time where we can get to know the head in a deeper way. And my question about a ministry of any church, I think it's easy to get caught up on what we're doing, programs, what we're organizing, good things. Caught up in our rituals, our traditions, also good things. But don't you hear there's something behind that? The rituals and traditions that we observe are about Him. The works that we set out to do, wanting to change the world and the world to come to know God, it's all about Him. So the call I think we're feeling in our hearts is there's one thing we need to do, that's to know the head of our life, the Lord Jesus Christ, to know His presence. Is going to church important? Well, I guess it depends on why you're going to church. It's a good thing. People go for a variety of reasons. If it's a big church, they have good programs, and if you have a family, that's an important thing. It's good, again, to observe traditions that have been handed down. But what about if our time together is about experiencing His presence? If we can recognize that drive, that hunger that God's put in our hearts. I believe that's what this day is all about. I believe this is what the Holy Spirit is doing in the earth. This is what the heart of God is crying out for. Beyond the traditions, beyond the rituals, beyond the programs and just simply attending church because we feel that's what God expects of me. God is not laying demands on you. Out of His love, He's calling for you. He's saying, come to me. And if we can come together and we have that cry, then our time together, like this morning for me, this has been a time in His presence. I don't have to be here. I could have done anything else this morning I wanted to do, and I know God loves me just the same. I'm here because I want to be here, because being with your hearts, I find Jesus Christ becoming more real to my life. Apart from that, nothing really matters that much. And I find myself becoming more and more consumed with this as I go on. This thing that gripped my heart 30 plus years ago, to me, religion has never been that captivating to me. I enjoy it. I've been involved in the ministry for a long, long time, but His Spirit touched my heart. I've been chasing and running after Him ever since. And sometimes I slow down and get distracted and looking around, and He has to wake me back up and realize where I am and the path I'm on, but that's the only thing that drives me. I want His presence. Think about the world we live in, the evil that's out there, the confusion, the heartache, all the problems. And we try to confront it with our own human resources. We use religion in a good way to try to address all these problems. And it's a good thing, but think about a world where Jesus Christ has a people, a body that's living, organic, an organism that know who their head is. And out of that comes a presence. What can stand before His presence? What outside, I don't care how deeply rooted the problems are, how great the hatred can be, how complex the problems can be. If his presence is emanating from his people, who can stand before that? I know somehow in this day of the kingdom, the day that God brings the earth back to himself, it's going to be his presence through his people that accomplishes the work. The Spirit now is focused not on us just finding the right place to be, where his presence may be on a person or on certain things. It's the day where his presence is to be known and experienced by everyone. That's the reality of New Covenant life. Everyone. So we have got to be free in ourselves to know that we have no other obligation, and we're not to be in bondage to anything else, but that one desire, love slaves, to know who our head is, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it saddens me often in the church system, there can be all the doctrines and teaching about Jesus Christ, and yet the very system is a block to people finding that reality. Here's who Jesus is. Now here's what we expect of you to be a member here. And people get busy doing everything else but knowing their head. The reality is, we come together, there should be no other agenda. Don't let your religion get in your way. We all have our own version. Don't let your religion that's in your head get in the way of the desire of your heart for the Lord. Today, too much of the focus of the Christian world is still on the religion of Christianity instead of the experience of his presence. He's a person. He's a person. Turn with me to the book of Exodus. Chapter 40. The Israelites were journeying, and of course their journey was a physical one. Ours is a spiritual one, but I think there's some very definite parallels here. Very last chapter of the book, and chapter 40, verse 34 of Exodus, it says, "The cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Where is his tabernacle today? It's in our hearts. Where is temple? Living temple. This again speaks of the day we're in. His people are going to be filled with his presence and his glory. We're not going to be able to stand to minister either. As it says another time in Chronicles, the priests couldn't even do what they're called to do. I think it means in our own flesh, our own strength, we're not going to be able to carry out things business as usual. His presence will be so real, it's just going to be purely Christ coming forth from our lives. The ego is not going to be able to enter into it. It's going to be purely an operation of the heart that's in God's hands. Verse 36, "And throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day when it was taken up. For throughout all their journeys, the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and there was a fire in it by night in the sight of the house of all Israel." Now, a definite reality of his presence is when we experience it, that presence leads our lives. Now, either our lives are going to be led by our own head, our own reasonings, and that can be good and bad. In my case, it generally doesn't lead me where I want to go in my heart. I don't know about you. You see, we have another option. We don't have to be imprisoned by our own minds. I don't care how intelligent we are. When it comes to God's purposes, our minds tend to be a prison. The presence of the Lord is in our lives. We should just be able to focus on that experience daily. That presence, like with the Israelites, it led them physically. If his presence wasn't going out, that cloud wasn't moving, they didn't move. We're going to be that finely tuned. Our lives are going to move by his presence. And these, the cloud and the fire, are symbolic of that. Our journey is a spiritual one. How are we able to be led in this spiritual journey to know the fullness of God in the person of Jesus Christ? With all the distractions we face in this world, from the world around us, from the world of religion, from our own personalities, our own minds, how can we be led to know the head, Jesus Christ? By his presence. That very presence of his Spirit within you will lead you. It will give you that focus on when you're scattered in your thoughts. It'll bring that focus back on one thing is important. Jesus Christ is your head, his mind. Know him. I don't think it's something we can accomplish in our own strength. Right now, you can feel your own heart, the desire you have for him. 2 hours from now, your mind might be obsessing about something else, right? That's the way we are as human beings. I can't be dedicated in my own strength. I can't be focused spiritually in my own strength. I can do it for a while. But his presence in me, his gift of the Holy Spirit in me, is able to maintain that focus. I get confused who's head over my life. Sometimes I know it's Jesus Christ, and sometimes my own thinking, right? Aren't we all that way? A friend of mine expressed it this way. He said, we all want to do what God wants, unless we don't. What he was getting at is sometimes our mind has a different plan, a different agenda. And that's when we look up at God and say, uh-uh. Right? Only his presence can overcome that. God made us human, so he knows how our minds work, and we're not to condemn ourselves over that. That doesn't do any good. But if we're alive in his presence, and even when our mind says no, the cry of our heart that says yes is louder, and we go on. And we're able to keep that focus. He's the head over everything. Think about this. All things are filled by his presence. His glory fills the earth. These are realities we don't get from reading the newspaper or looking out around us with our natural senses. Our mind has not given us awareness of this. The reality of God's presence in the earth and his lordship come again from his presence within us. That's how we become aware. That gives us that eyes that Paul had. I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened to see the glory of his riches. Spiritual sight. Two things that get in the way of this, I think, of really believing that his presence is within us and letting that presence guide us, is often we forget his intent toward us. His intent for you is very simple. He loves you. He accepts you as you are. If you forget that, you probably at some point will succumb to the lies of the enemy, to negativity, self-condemnation, and you'll lose contact with his presence. His presence never leaves you. It's just we cease to be aware of it. The Israelites lost sight of that, didn't they? When God brought them out from Egypt, what was his goal? To give them a law that they couldn't do and watch them live in frustration and misery? No, he said, I wanted you to come up this mountain and worship me. He wanted a relationship with his people that they were afraid of. You see, they never came to know God's intent toward him. They got a law that said, if you do this, I'll bless you. If you don't do this, I won't bless you. That didn't convey a whole lot of love to them, and it's a law they couldn't keep. But God's intent from his heart was he wanted a people he could fellowship with and be one with. Moses heard it. Caleb, Joshua heard it. A new generation heard it. Jesus came up out of the water after being baptized by John the Baptist. He heard a voice saying, this is my beloved son, I'm well pleased with him. That's the voice we all need to hear. We need to hear that more than once in our life. I think we need to hear it how many times a day? Why? As many as possible. So that we know God's intent toward us. When Jesus Christ paid the price on the cross for us, God's intent is not judgment because we failed the law. Jesus fulfilled the law. He paid the price for us. So know this, that God's intent at all times is one of love and acceptance toward you. Whether you feel lovable or acceptable because of what the Son has done, God always sees you in that loving way. That keeps us connected to his presence. The other is we don't know his provision, or we forget about his provision for us. We lose sight of it. This happens when we go through the valleys of our life. Mountaintop experiences is pretty easy. God's with me. Everything's good. Everything's right. I sense his presence. When you're in a valley, and a valley is not just the circumstances you're going through, it's what's going on inside your mind and your emotions. You feel anything but spiritual. You go, how can God even accept me? Look at these thoughts raging through my mind. when you're depressed, discouraged, as all human beings experience from time to time, whatever things you experience in your own humanity, we're all different. Everybody knows what a valley experience is like, and everybody knows they last too long, right? And everybody's upset that we can't control them. But nevertheless, his provision is always there. It's consistent. He's faithful to us during those times. And I want to refer to something in the scriptures that maybe can help with this. In the end of Deuteronomy, you can read about this later. God was speaking all the do's and don'ts. Not exactly my favorite reading material, but he's telling the Israelites about, if you do this, I'll bless you. If you don't, here's all the curses you'll experience. And life under law, not a great way to live. But he talked about how he brought him out of Egypt. He talked about what he wanted from him. Then he goes on and talks about how they're going to fall away again. He goes, I want you not to serve these other idols. Here's what I want, but I know you're going to do it anyway. I think God understands our humanity. And then he talks about restoration. He goes, and then your heart will be turned to me, and I'll bring you back from all these places I've dispersed you. You know what hit me out of that? God knew all along that the Israelites couldn't keep his law. His provision was not altered. Even when they failed, there was a provision for him that he would bring them back. No matter what valley experience you may be going through, the provision of the Lord is not something that's left you. It's there for you in that valley. His presence is just as real in your life when you're going through it, and you don't sense it as when you're on that mountaintop. And that's when it's just a time of faith, of knowing that God's faithfulness is sure. Scripture says even when we are not faithful, he has to remain faithful to us. That's just his nature. We need to know that. The disciples with Jesus, I think most of them thought their provision ran out when he died on the cross. Their plans died. Their dreams died. They looked up and said, this is what we thought was going to happen. This was not in our agenda for Jesus, the King, the Messiah. You remember, he came back. What were they doing? Praying and believing for him to return? Going over the scriptures? Going over all the things he said? No. They were huddled in a room, scared to death. They went back to their occupations. Jesus came back with that loving touch and manifested himself in resurrected form to them. He manifested his presence to them. You see, the provision of God was not altered even when they failed. God didn't fail them. So I think sometimes we're tricked when we're going through the valley and we don't sense or feel things and our mind is going the wrong direction. We think, well, his presence can't be very real. Can't be here. No, his presence is always within you. We can still draw from his presence even when our emotions or mind are under assault or attack or going the wrong direction. Just remember that his provision is set for your life and nothing can alter that. Because he knows deep down in your heart, no matter what goes on in your mind, that you love him. He knows he's captured your heart. Nothing can change that. The day of his presence, the day that people everywhere, and I see this with Christians that have been under such bondage to the law, suffering, such self-condemnation, such guilt, carrying around this 200-pound weight on their shoulders, feeling that someday I might be spiritual if I can just get my act together, if I can just do things right. You know what? That record that plays just, it never seems to wear out, and it just keeps playing the same thing over and over again. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. On and on and on. I see that weight breaking away because his presence becomes so real. People realize that they're in the hands of a loving God. They have a relationship on a heart level, and nothing can break that. Paul talked about that in Romans 8. What can separate us from the love of God, the love of Christ? He goes on to describe these different things. He goes, nothing. That love is the most powerful force in the universe. And that love resides within you. That love is your relationship to the Father, to the Son. It's the Holy Spirit within you is working to make that truth so real. So just focus on his presence. Let his presence be more and more real in your life. Amen. Let's stand. I'd like us to sing one song in closing this morning, Standing in His Presence. Can we do that?